This is the Championship Clubs Podcast, the show that shines a light on English rugby's second flight. Join us every fortnight and check us out on the socials at Champ Clubs Pod on Instagram and Twitter.
Hello everyone and welcome back to another edition of the Championship Clubs Podcast. I'm your host Ross Hancock. We're joined as ever by Charlie Beckett. We'll also be joined by Max Clementson, previously of Hartbury, now at Chinner, about their promotion and impending arrival in the Championship next season. He spoke to Charlie earlier in the week. But it has been a little while since we were last on the pod. A little bit of housekeeping to wrap up at the end of the show. But Charlie, first of all, good to have you back on, mate. Been an interesting couple of rounds, definitely, certainly at your end. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Yeah, mate, lots of stuff going on off the field, and some rather eye-catching results across the Championship the last two rounds.
We'll get straight into it. Like I say, it has been a little while. I think we could actually go as far back as three rounds in the Championship, such as the time we've been away. But we'll go to round 18 so that we're not talking too far back in the past. But we'll start as producer Ryan, I'm sure, will be delighted to revisit the Battle of Bedfordshire. Bedford 24, Ampthill 29 in round 18. We spoke to Morgan Strong on the last edition of the show and talked about consistency and backing up that excellent win. We'll talk more about Ampthill later on in the show, but they certainly did that in the Derby game and registered a big 5 points.
Yeah, I know how important those Battle of Bedfordshires are for local bragging rights, and it will have hurt Bedford to lose at home. It sounded like a good game, tight game, but Ampthill came out on top. And like you say, Morgan spoke very well on the podcast about the need for consistency at Ampthill, that being the next sort of building block for them. And as I'm sure we'll get onto, they've had a good run of consistent good wins recently.
Yeah, they have. We'll speak a little bit more about both sides, obviously, when we come into round 19. Another side that have turned a bit of a corner, if you like, in form. We'll speak about their most recent result as well. But Scottish going to Cambridge and winning 43-13, the bonus point. They're scoring some nice tries. I think they took 50 but scored mid-30s themselves against Ealing the week before and were in contention for try of the week. Some real screamers there. Dan Nutton in some great form at the moment. But yeah, real convincing win then for them against Cambridge.
Yeah, a really big one. Obviously, their closest rivals at that time in the league to get such a big win over them is a massive result for Scottish. And they're doing what they did last season. Come March, April time, they're really turning it on and getting results. If they can start working out how to do that earlier in the season, they could then find themselves climbing that table to mid-table rather than bottom two, bottom three. But really, really strong few weeks for Scottish. And they'll look to be continuing that last three rounds to a strong end to what's been another probably disappointing season for them.
Yeah, and a bit of a mix and match couple of weeks for your boys at Castle Park. We'll do the post-mortem for round 19 later on because it's a big talking point, of course. But round 18, a Sunday fixture at Castle Park. Didn't see too many of them, but Donny coming out on the right side of that 29-7. How did that one go for you?
Yeah, well, first of all, it was really cool that it was a Sunday because you had all the Coldy Mini and Juniors came and played the Doncaster Mini and Juniors beforehand and then all stayed and watched. It was a real good feel at Castle Park. There was like a family fun day sort of thing. Good crowd because of it. Great to have good support for Coldy there and Doncaster, obviously. And yeah, look, a pretty professional performance from us and a good win. Coldy were far from at their best. We left some points out there, but 5 points against Coldy's never be sniffed at. They're a tough team to put away and we did that fairly convincingly. And while we won convincingly in that round, it was maybe a little more dramatic over at Hartbury for you boys against them. Talk us through that. How were the heart rates in that game, mate?
Oh, well, I try to maintain professional at all times, especially when on the road. But when I am, I tend to be sat next to BBC Radio Cornwall's John Martin. And I think he said that the listeners couldn't hear the final try because I was shouting too loudly. But the reason for that and the reason for me breaking my professionalism is the way that game went. We were 22-8 up at half time, played some really nice stuff against a tricky side in Hartbury who had some good loanies in the side from Gloucester and Bristol and looked pretty good. And then that the D word reared its ugly head for us again. We're down to 12 men at one point. Don't think Hartbury made the most of that that period of about 10-15 minutes when it was in between us not having 15 on the pitch. We managed to get away from that unscathed that period. Former Pirate Harry Bazalgette actually kicked them ahead 25-22 at one point. We're thinking, oh my goodness, how after the Doncaster draw, how are we going to go away from that game with 1 point instead of five? But the boys dug in and found a way. Tom Pittman levelled things up. It's 25-all. And then I think both teams wanted to lose it at the end. It was a crazy last couple of minutes. I think that's probably why I reacted the way I did. But we had a kick to win, missed. They had a chance to clear the kick from the line. It was charged down. We nearly scored. And then their restart went straight into the hands of Kyle Moore, who's in great form at the moment, and he sort of cut through and set up a last-minute try and a bonus point that keeps us in touch at the top. So, yeah, a good win in the end, but hopefully we don't have to go through the ringer too much like that again this season. And that sort of brings us on nicely to another side, I suppose, that are going well at the top of the table, still just about in contention for top, and certainly the top two, top three is Coventry. And they went to Nottingham and they really did a job on them on the Sunday as well, 52-26. And they're absolutely flying at the moment. Cov, will come on to them in a second as well.
Yeah, Cov flying, as you say. And again, like last season, hitting their straps midway through the season, pretty unstoppable. If they can start sorting out their early season form, they could be genuine title contenders in the next few seasons to come. They just give themselves a little bit too much to do, don't they? I think that they're still technically in contention this season, but I think we probably all agree that it's likely to be going with Ealing. So, yeah, carving some real great form, and to put 50 past Nottingham is no mean feat. They're a good side, Nottingham, and while they've maybe not had the end of the season they would have hoped, they're still a very strong side, and putting 50 against them is very impressive.
We talked off air just before we came on about the rest of the season. We'll come on to that later on in the podcast. We don't want to clip up any quotes of any jinxing or anything, or whether we mathematically get our sums wrong. But we'll look at the top of the table, because it could potentially get quite interesting later on in the show. As we say, you're going to speak to Max Clemenson in a bit as well. We'll play that. But round 19, bit of an elephant in the room on this Zoom, Charlie. Ampthill 49-year-old club, Donny 9, 49 unanswered points. That is a result and possibly a scoreline that not many people will have seen coming.
Yeah, mate, look, let's not try and dress this up anyway. That was a bad day for us. There are no two ways about it. I was unfortunately ruled out with a little bit of a niggle, and it's on the toughest watching experience I've had, like, where you just hate not being able to be on there and do anything about it and try and help. But it's a confused one, because I'd say for 35 minutes we were very, very good. We were 9-0 up, very professional performance, and then Amstel got two good tries just before half time. But even so, I thought we were going down the hill, had the win behind the second half. I felt very confident we'd come out and win the game. And then we need to do a lot of looking into what went wrong, because a lot went wrong that second half. And for them to put 35 points past us, I think 21 of them were in the last 10 to 15 minutes, isn't what we expect of ourselves, and isn't where we want to be. So all the credit goes to Amtel. They were very, very good in the day. They took the chance as well, but we've got to look at ourselves on that one. I'm sure we will be, we've been off the last few days, and again this week, and we're back in tomorrow, and I'm sure there'll be some hard conversations had, but they need to be had, because that's not good enough.
On to another team towards the top, and Ealing Trailfinders travel back to Pattonfield, looking to avenge obviously last year's shock defeat to Coldy, and that was never on the cards this year. They came away pretty comfortable winners and cemented their place at the top of the table.
Yeah, it's hard to catch someone by surprise twice, isn't it? So I think they probably have gone, knowing the challenges of Pattonfield, a little bit better this time round, Ealing. And you could see from their team selection, there was no rest on their laurels. And I think they were spoken all week about what happened there last year and making sure it didn't again. And they didn't. A convincing win for Ealing, which keeps them comfortable at the top.
And producer Ryan, unfortunately, we're going to have to talk about another difficult day for the Blues. I know, obviously, we've seen some of the clips, and from a Bedford perspective, probably unhappy with their contribution in some of those. But Coventry are just on fire at the moment, and you see some of the tries they're scoring, the scores they're racking up, 50 points for a second consecutive weekend. And like I said earlier, Charlie, if they had sorted out some of their early season form, we could have been in for a real tasty title race at times.
Yeah, I think it would be great to see that race a little bit tight at the top, but that can't be helped. All you can do is praise Coventry for where they're playing at the moment. You can tell they are players and a team playing with immense confidence, fully assured themselves, and just enjoying their rugby as well. Like, you look at the try Pellegrini scores and the reaction of all the boys, like you said, from Bedford point of view, I'm sure they'd be disappointed with some of the missed tackles, but sometimes you've got to say Cov were very good, and it looks like from what I've seen, Cov were very, very good.
Yeah, they were. And another form side, we spoke about them from round 18 into taking that form into round 19, scoring some absolute screamers, it has to be said. Maybe the new entertainers, and taking that title from the team that defeated Nottingham. London Scottish looking really sharp at the moment.
Yeah, Scottish, as we alluded to in the last round, having a brilliant, brilliant upturn in form, and are making a climb to finish, what, third, fourth, bottom, which I think if you'd offered them that around Christmas, they would have taken. Again, it happened this time last year. They turned a corner. They got in some better form. There's a lot of good players and good coaches and a good setup there at Scottish. They just need to find how they hit the ground running next season, and they could really make an assault on that mid-table and maybe higher. A good result for yourself on Sunday as well against a tricky Cambridge side, and worrying signs at half-time, has to be said.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, not to call our good friends out on Champ Channels, but I think they said that we scored three early tries. It wasn't wasn't the case at all. Cambridge came flying out the blocks. They were 8-0 ahead at one point. Eli Caven was electric. Asiedu on the other wing scored another lovely individual try. And yeah, they went into the sheds 18-14 ahead. We looked sloppy, inaccurate. There's nothing more... there's nothing to warm the cockles more than an Alan Paver special at halftime. And we certainly saw the fruits of that in the second half. Came out and scored, I think, 31 unanswered points and looked a lot more ourselves. Got the bonus point that probably we expected and a lot of other people would have done. So, yeah, played some nice stuff. I think we got Try of the Week on one of the channels, which was nice to see a different name for a change. Wink, wink, nudge. But yeah, no, it was a much needed win to back up that Hartbury result and sort of, you know, 10 points from two games puts you back in the picture. And yeah, we're fighting all the way for second now. We've got a tough game at Nottingham to hopefully set up a potential second place decider with Cobb at the Menai for our final game of the season here.
That'll be a really good game.
It will be, yeah. You did say it's a bit far to travel, but I think if anyone is in the area, I think that will be worth one coming down and taking a little bit of extra time to come and have a look at. It'd be nice to, that'll be streamed obviously as well on our platform. So, as we said earlier on in the show, you did catch up with, I believe, a former teammate of yourself, Charlie Max Clementson. He is at Chinner, who've just been promoted into the Championship, previously at Hartbury as well, someone you know very well. And just give us a little preview of what you two guys talked about before we take you to the interview.
Yeah, it was great to catch up with Clem. I don't think I've ever actually played with him, so I've played against him a lot, and then we ended up in Australia at the same time last year. And as foreigners do abroad, we got together a lot because we were both English in Australia. So came very close over there, got a lot of mutual friends, and he's a man I've known for a while. Great to chat to him, great to have him back in the Championship, very good player, and great to get a little bit of insight of what's going on at Chinner, how they've been building over the last few seasons, and then interesting to hear what he feels has been the difference this year. They've been involved in a few title races in that national one now. They've been pushing promotion a few seasons in a row, and just interested to hear from him what he felt was different this year about the place that got them across the line. So I think producer Ryan's going to press the magic button and you will hear past me going to Max Clemmerson. So I'm very happy to say I'm joined by former Hartbury and GB7 star and current Chinner back rower, Max Clemmerson. Max, how are you, mate?
Yeah, very well. Thank you, Charlie. How are you, mate?
I am good, thank you. I'm good. Have the celebrations ended yet after the promotion win last week? How's it been?
Yeah, it's been good, mate. We had our first session. We had a week off last week. So I think a few lads' celebrations leaked into the week. But yeah, first session back last night, last game this weekend. And a bit of a rude awakening into training last night. A fair few conditioning games, getting a bit of blown away a few of those cobwebs from the celebrations. But yeah, they've stopped now. They were good, mate. Straight on the bus back after Moseley, and then all the lads at the club, loads of people greeting us off the lads off the bus at the club, and then boys just flying into it at the club, kind of free bar and just enjoying each other's company, mate, and celebrating. So it was very good fun.
Did we have a day two on Sunday?
There was a day two for some of the boys. A couple of lads stayed in the same kit, so they I didn't participate, but some of those lads absolutely stank the next day in the same kit, hadn't showered. But yeah, no, the boys did fly into day two.
So I know for a fact that you've got a very lovely but also a very heavily pregnant other half, so I'm not sure how accepting that would have been of you flying into it for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah, I mean... Shout out to Luke Carter because his missus just gave birth on the Wednesday night, and he didn't come to training on Thursday, but played on the weekend, went on the bus back, and then we got a free pass until I think 10:30, 11 o'clock on the night. He obviously didn't get the green pass for Sunday, but I mean, fair play to him. He had literally a two-day-old baby and played in the game, was quality, and then was on the pitch. So I don't know if that's worse or if that I drank when my missus is heavily pregnant. So, I mean, bit of to and fro.
Oh, shout out to the missus for being understanding there. It has to be respect to them. Let's talk a little bit about the rugby. We can't just talk about the celebrations all day as much as we'd like to and those stories. Chinner have been close a few times now. I've always been in that promotion race the last few seasons. What do you think? Obviously, you've been there a few seasons as well yourself. What was different this year? What meant that Chinna got across the line and won that league and got their promotion to the Championship this time round?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting one. I think I'm actually in my third season now of Chinna, but it's actually the first one I've completed. Kind of the first time I came straight out of Hartbury, doing a season, well, two seasons at Hartbury with the Championship. And there was all that talk of top four and trying to chase it. Whereas this year, there was no real talk of it. It was just so process driven, and to be honest, probably the detail that we've been given to go out and just do our role and just focus on week on week, and kind of resetting after Christmas. You know, there was a lot of talk. We went on a really good run pre-Christmas, but kind of there was no talk that, oh, okay, we've got to keep going. It was kind of just keep staying to the process, and I think that was probably what changed. There was probably a lot of, you know, of that goals and aims and everything, especially in my first year. But the transition from this year compared to last year, I only came in for a few games last year. But I think the recruitment is probably a huge factor, just the general calibre of player from last year to this year. I don't think it's hugely changed, but there's a couple of key influences. And I think the squad is just really tight. And I'd say the squad recruitment combined with the coaches is probably a huge factor that's changed.
So, Max, that brings me on nice to my next question. You mentioned how the coaches have had a huge influence this year. Talk to me about that coach team, obviously headed up by Nick Easter. Who's involved and what's been so important about what they've done with you this season?
I think the specialisation, and I don't really believe that anyone else in the league has probably had access to the quality of coaches that we've had. Obviously, yeah, we've got Minty or Nick Easter like leading up and running it all, but Ham's running our attack and the backs, and then Minty doing our line out and defence work. And then at the start of the season, we had Jordan Turner Hall in, and then he kind of, I think, progressed up and got a full-time or more of a full-time gig with, and just couldn't do the travel with Harlequins. And then we've been fortunate enough, when Minty went away with a couple of weeks with USA, we had Tom Cruise come in, who's at Northampton. So he's been doing our scrum and helping out with bits and bobs. I just don't believe anyone else in the league has had the sort of detail and the access to the quality of coaches that we've had. I think they've all been outstanding. And to be honest, probably in answer to your question, I know Hamps has been here in previous years, but that's probably been a huge part of the transformation from last year to this year. The analysis, the detail in our training, I feel that's probably what's, along with the quality of player, you know, across the board that we have. Those are probably the couple of main reasons as to why we've done so well this year.
Yeah, you say, you go through the names there, all players who've been at the top of the game have that experience, a lot of Championship experience there as well, which will stand you in good stead for next season. How is it going to work with Hamps? As you say, obviously, current player at Ealing, he's been coaching at Chinna and at Harrow School alongside. He's now going to have the team he plays for and the team he coaches in the Championship in the same league. Do you guys know how that's going to work?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious, but he's basically just not going to play against Chinna. So that where the week of, I think he just gets a week off the week Chinna play Ealing. So he can't coach us and he can't play for them. So, I mean,
send him away on holiday.
He'll get a lovely, nice holiday. Yeah, we'll probably just be coaching Harrow that week and just be full time with them. But because he does that as well, doesn't he? So yeah, I think he won't participate in either team. So he won't coach us and he won't play for them.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's good to see that he can carry on with those roles and getting stuff sorted for when he finishes and goes into coaching. He's one of the busiest men I know. When you sit down with him and hear all the coaching he's doing, it is remarkable how much he gets through.
Yeah, because he does all the Harrow stuff as well, doesn't he? So, and like, he's with us Tuesday, Thursday night, like full-time of Ealing. Like, yeah. And he's quality, mate.
Busy man.
Great, we can keep him on.
Yeah, mate, brilliant. As we alluded to earlier, you've been in the Championship before. Having spent a number of years with Hartbury, with that Championship experience, what do you foresee being the biggest challenges and differences for next season, the club stepping up to the second tier of English rugby?
Probably consistency and small margins. Like, I don't think we probably... I mean, you do get penalised for it in that one, but for your errors and your mistakes, you can scramble. Obviously, you scramble in the Championship, but you get penalised a lot more for your mistakes. Bigger players physically, the physicality from that one to the Championship is probably one of the huge factors. And then just your errors, like I was saying, you're in the Championship, you can't make as much errors, especially unforced errors. And so probably from my Championship experience, the physicality and the errors and therefore your accuracy, how good you have to be in that is a huge step up. There's probably more. I know there's obviously a gap in the championship, you know, between the professional and the semi-professional teams. I know obviously sometimes that, you know, like for instance, Till getting it over a Donny, you know, a semi-professional getting it over a professional team. But obviously it's much more even in terms of, well, I'd say it's even, sorry, less even. It's a huge, bigger gap in National One from probably the top few teams to the bottom few teams.
Yeah, and again, going back on that championship experience, are there any games or ground you're particularly excited to play in or visit again?
So a lot of my mates are probably I probably have more mates in the champ than I do in National One. I've got to be looking forward to going back to Hartbury, mate. Hopefully Chinna getting one over on Big Pasty, seeing his heart rate go up and his blood pressure go up will be one of the more enjoyable experiences. But no, I've got obviously a couple of mates at Doncaster as well. Big Willow up there. I don't know what his plans are next year. But also a close mate, Crano at Hartbury. So just those probably two locations would be pretty tasty. Definitely Hartbury away is one that's already looking forward to.
Yeah, I thought that one would be top of your list. What are your thoughts on the league as a whole? Obviously, coming back into it next season, the Chinna, your experience in the past, what do you think? It's a big talking topic, big talking point on this show. Obviously, it's the reason we are here. What are your thoughts on the championship as a whole and the obvious challenges it faces? But how would you go about mending them and helping the league grow if it was up to you? If you were in charge of everything, Maxi, what would you do?
Fund it for starters. I think from my first year at Hartbury, obviously my first year where they got promoted, Hartbury got promoted from that one. I think the funding is now something like less than a quarter, like as in being cut from over three quarters of what it was. So I think you have to start there. Because then you get, you know, with that, you get the medical, you get the whole team in terms of the backroom staff and everything like that, and you get the facilities. So I think you have to start there, and then obviously you get the players from that. I still think that the market is ridiculously saturated at the moment in terms of players. The quality of player is so high, but I just think it needs a bit of backing from the RFU. I mean, the RFU are one of the wealthiest unions going. I just think for whatever reason, they don't see the championship being, I mean, hopefully no one knows what's going on, but the talk of Prem 1 and Prem 2 and hopefully them both being professional, I think would be fantastic for the game because there's enough good players out there to be producing a product that is worthy of selling and worthy of funding. Probably need a bigger business brain than mine to figure out the actual plan, but I mean, that has to be a start. You have to be able to fund it properly, get all of the teams professional because then you start talking about a level playing field. Because there's four teams, five with Jersey obviously just going professional and then half semi-professional. I mean, I think Chinna are staying two nights next year, so staying Tuesday, Thursday. So obviously we'll turn up and give teams a good crack, but you're at a huge disadvantage from the start, aren't you? To teams that are full-time training three, four times a week. So funding has to be a start, mate, and there's plenty of teams and quality of player out there, especially with obviously all the Prem teams going bust and everything like that. So yeah, that's probably where I'd go with it. But hopefully the future's bright, mate, but there's so much unknown.
Yeah, mate, fingers crossed and very well said, banging the drum on the podcast like we like to. Lastly, before I let you go, what are the aims for next season, both personally but also just Chinna? What's the plan next season?
For Chinna, I think a good start for a semi-professional team in the championship has to be win your home games. Hopefully a lot of our games will be on the Friday night, getting a decent crowd at Kingsley Road. Tough place to play, mate. Downhill with wind. You never know what can happen. You stick in the fight in the first half or when you're against the wind and you just never know what happens. I think especially against those professional teams and us coming up, I think a lot of the team are staying similar next year. Hopefully a lot of the starting team sticking around. So, I mean, we found it this year. We lost to Sedgley Park, who just came up from that too. Those boys, you know, when you get promoted from a league, you're tight and you're close together. You're a good knitted group. You fight a lot for each other in defence. And I feel like that is a huge, it's a great starting point when you're going up against some good teams. So has to be win our home games as a starting point, I think, or at least very much competing in all of those. And then a few away scalps, you know, turning up away from home, sticking in games, getting the 60-minute mark within a score, within two scores. You never know what can happen. So I think it's very exciting, mate. I think for Chinna as a whole, I think we can definitely compete in that league. So it's very exciting. And personally, obviously, you know, like I said, I played in the championship before at Hartbury, but I was very much in and out of that team. So trying to get myself nailed on as a starter in the team is definitely a goal for myself, to try and get some consistent appearances and game time and backing up performances, and showing I can really compete and play at that level. It's something that I'm very much looking forward to. Hopefully, the lack of sleep in fatherhood won't affect my performance too much, but I'm very excited for it nonetheless.
No, mate, we're very excited to have you back in the Championship and to see Chinnab in the league for the first time. Thanks so much for joining us, Max. And now I will hand the reins back over to Ross Hancock, your usual host of the podcast.
Thank you, mate.
Thanks very much for that, Charlie. Really interesting to hear that from Max, and really looking forward to welcoming Chinnab into the Championship and getting rid of those bye weekends next year. Sorry, it should be a cracking league. And while we're on the subject, just a little bit of housekeeping. We always talk about the Championship and how important it is in English rugby. News broke pre-recording of this podcast that obviously Tom Doughty from Doncaster Knights, where you are, and Steel Barker from Cornish Pirates down at mine, will both be joining Premiership side Bristol Bears next season. One's a teammate of yours, one's someone you've played against recently, someone I know very well. What's your thoughts on that? It's obviously great news.
Yeah, brilliant news for both the lads, brilliant news for Doncaster Knights and Cornish Pirates, in a sense of, obviously it's bad news they're losing two good players, but great news that their pathway and what they're doing with players is being picked up from the Premiership. And great news for the league. Obviously really pleased with Doughts as a teammate. Obviously came from Bath, has worked hard this season, been playing and got himself straight back up to the Premiership, but really, really pleased for and excited for Steele. I've obviously played against him, watched him a lot this season. He's in my position and he's a very, very good player and a very, very nice, I'm going to sound so old here, nice young man. But he is, he's such a good bloke, and I think he has everything he needs physically, equipped-wise, tools-wise, to go and actually have a real good crack at making a career as a Premiership second round. Who knows how far ahead. I know the players we're going in there with. Joe Batley's a very good friend of mine. Works the line up really well. I'm sure utilised Steele brilliantly. Obviously, Josh Caulfield, who we both know very well, is there. So, yeah, over the moon for both these lads. I'm really excited to see how they go over in Bear Country.
Absolutely, yeah. Echo those thoughts, especially Steele, someone I know very well. Obviously, spent a bit of time at my club, Penryn, in Cornwall. Do have a bone to pick with him, however. I did play for Penryn for many years and donned the number 4 shirt like yourself, as you can see in the background there. And yeah, I think I was forgotten all about after one game from Steele because he was just a different level. I mean, he absolutely ripped it up for Penryn and showed them what they were missing in the 4 shirt for probably the best part of a decade. And yeah, career trajectory from Steele is fantastic, you know, to go from Penryn, you know, a junior level up to Redruth, where people from, you know, the Pirates and in Cornwall tend to, you know, cut their teeth rugby-wise onto the Pirates and now into the Premiership. So, yeah, really pleased for him. Lovely bloke. I'm sure he'll do great things in his career and he's only going one way. Just to finish, I suppose, we are going to commit to a little round 20 mini-pod next week. We'll leave the predictions for social media as usual, but we will discuss next weekend's fixtures on a non-game week as we release this pod. But just to get your thoughts, Charlie, to finish up on how you see the end of this season finishing. I think we said we weren't going to say it, but I think there is mathematically a way that Ealing could win the Championship officially, mathematically, next weekend. We don't know that for sure.
I'm not committing to that. We spoke about it for a good 5 minutes off air, and we all agreed that we don't have the mathematical abilities to work that out because of bye week, so I'm not committing to that. But what I will commit to is saying I think Ealing will win the league. I don't see them being caught at this point. And subsequently, it's a different conversation. It's a shame that there won't be a playoff between top of the champ and bottom of the Prem, because right now, if that was Ealing against Newcastle, I think Ealing win that. I genuinely believe Ealing would beat Newcastle over two legs at the moment. So it's a shame we won't be seeing that, but that's a different conversation. I think the most fascinating thing going into these last few weeks is the battle pretty much from second to sixth/seventh. It's pretty tight round there, and I think anyone could find themselves ending up anywhere in that mix, and it's a big difference. If you finish second or third, you're pretty happy with your season. If you finish sixth or seventh, that's pretty much a disappointing season for those teams. So there's a lot to play for in that middle bunch, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'd have to say begrudgingly agree, and certainly with the best of respects to Ealing, they've been fantastic. They absolutely deserve to be top of the table. They showed their their champion traits or champions in waiting traits against us down here in the wet and playing that game when they're obviously used to playing on a 4G surface and chucking it about a bit. So they've got an all court game. I think they'll finish first. Like you say, I think it's going to be tight for second, third, fourth and fifth. Ampthill are really putting a run together at the moment as well. I think they're right on the tails of Donny and you know, those words of Morgan Strong breaking that top four in pre-season. I think he said, and we spoke about it on the pod, it'd be great to see them back that up, a different name up there. But yeah, I think it's all to play for. And yeah, at the bottom as well, there's some other sides that are climbing, like London Scottish and who knows. And just to, I suppose, to finish off, Charlie, just what you're hoping to see from your boys at Castle Park for the season's end.
Yeah, I think we just want to put together three performances now in the last three games that we're proud of. We weren't particularly proud of, obviously, the result against Ampthill. That was a poor day, as we covered earlier. So we've got three big games. We've got Bedford away, we've got Ealing at home, we've got Hartbury away. So three really tough games for the running. And if we don't get that right, we could be that team slipping down that I spoke about. So we need to make sure we get together tomorrow, get what we need to get sorted, and just put in three performances that we're proud of and the fans can enjoy, because we've got a great following up at Castle Park and we've got one home game left. So hopefully that game against Ealing, we can give them something to cheer about. That is the plan, I think.
Great stuff. Thanks as always, Charlie, for joining us on the show and for that interview with Max. Big thanks to Max as well for coming on the show. Thanks, producer Ryan. Obviously, no Championship Rugby this week. So get following on the socials when we return next week for predictions, team of the week, moment of the week, and a mini pod from Charlie and myself. And we will be back very soon.
That was the Championship Clubs podcast. Be sure to come back in a fortnight's time and follow us on social media at Champ Clubs Pod on Instagram and Twitter.